Following the death of Queen Elizabeth II, many touching scenes have appeared on our screens and before our eyes. One of the most powerful images we have seen is the King's Vigil, where the now King Charles III, along with his siblings, stood watch over their Queen's coffins as it lay in state in Edinburgh. Although this solemn event lasted for just 10 minutes, it represented one of those great snapshots in history. There, the body of a queen whose enduring reign lay, her coffin draped with the royal standard of Scotland, with a wreath of flowers resting on top, the king himself, wearing a kilt, looking to the ground with all the augustness the occasion demanded. Vigils are part and parcel of life. We see them often, and while usually they take place during the night before a solemn occasion, there is always a connection to a time of grief and mourning. The word itself has roots in the Latin word, which means wakefulness. And before this week, the tradition, also known as the Vigil of the Princes, took place on two other occasions. More recently, back in 2002, the Queen's mother's four grandsons stood guard over her coffin in honour as people walked through Westminster Hall. But the same watch also took place at the time of King George V's final night of laying in state. The last number of days, and as we go forward into the year, our thoughts will now be on the new king. And this will only begin to intensify as we head towards his coronation. And when hearing and reading about the king's vigil, my thoughts were directed to the watchful eye and the keeping grace of God, our great king. With a host of Bible passages that speak to us about the watchful, keeping eye of the Lord, most believers would turn to Psalm 121, where the word keepeth carries with it the idea of watching and protection and preservation. For example, Psalm 121 verse 4, what a lovely verse, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And as I think about the King's vigil, and we think of the vigil of our God and the watchfulness of Christ our King, many things come to us. First of all, it is a striking vigil. As mentioned, our eyes and ears have experienced over the last number of days sights and sounds that many of us have never experienced. The faithful and peaceable reign of our Queen that she gave under and by the grace of God have been fittingly marked and commemorated since her final breath was taken. And in this, we have beheld much. And of course, we're going to behold much more as events lead to her eventual funeral service in Westminster Abbey. But here, we're told in the psalm to behold something even greater. The reader is told to grip with the eyes and to lay hold of with the hearts of a scene that is like no other scene in this world. Here is a scene not of a king who watches in grief over the remains of a loved one, but one who in glory watches in love over a people who live before him. And the wonder of it all is that it is he that keeps his people. It is not so much the wonder of us, but it is him. That's why the psalm is directing our thoughts in that way. In verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." That's why the psalmist lifts up the eyes to the hills, to the place where, you know, God is understood. He's there in the heavens, above the hills. Where would I look? To whom should I look? Our help comes alone from him. So we behold this striking vigil. It is also an unbroken vigil. Understandably, the king's vigil, King Charles III, along with those of his siblings, it lasted only for 10 minutes. Not because this reflected a lack of grief or sorrow on their behalf, but more because this was gesture and this was tradition. Who knows how many tears the king himself and his family have shed in quiet, we'll never know. But sometimes vigils can last longer, especially when maybe loved ones are in a hospital, in their bed or in their homes, and there the last few hours of their life are expiring, and the nearest and their dearest, the closest family members will come near, they will watch, they will wait. But eventually every person's eye will grow tired. Even the most dedicated loved one will become weary, and rest needs to be had. This is something which is not true of God. God's watch over his people is like nothing else. The psalmist says he shall neither slumber nor sleep. There is no growing weary in his care for us. His constant vigil is not something he feels compelled to do or forced to do, but it is grounded in his unchanging covenant love. We might even say he delights to watch his people. There is immeasurable comfort, my dear friend, in this single fact alone, that God doesn't sleep. When we are our most exposed and weakest, he watches and he keeps. It is also a proven vigil, he that keepeth Israel. You know our history of kings and queens, along with the biblical record of monarchs, demonstrate that good ones are not common, and godly ones are rarely found. And this should stimulate all the more earnest prayer in the church and in the Christian heart for our King, that he might know first the salvation of God in Christ, so that we as a church may enjoy further peaceful years to promote the gospel. Well, we thank God for the Queen's constant reign and many references to Christ, which at the very least point men and women to a higher, greater monarch. The Queen undoubtedly left both legacy and example for others to follow. But when it comes to the Lord's watchfulness, his vigil, we might say, over his people, we can remember that he has demonstrated time and time again that he cares for us. He who keeps, has kept, and will always keep. And this should not be viewed as immunity from any sorrow or harm. It doesn't mean that we will never stray from the path or grieve him. In God's infinite wisdom, he allows such things to be so. But citizens of the great King are forever watched. His eye is upon us, his ear open to our cry. He shall preserve your soul. Thank you.